My readings today made me think about communication. What a difficult thing it is sometimes. I remember when a few years ago I jumped on the bandwagon of Facebook, because now we could communicate with everyone, part of this great explosion that Silicon Valley has given us that's remaking the world. And I was really excited about it. And early on, I posted, reposted something I'd seen of someone else send out on Facebook. And though you might find it hard to believe if you know me, I actually made a snarky remark about something. I don't even remember whether it was politics or church, but it was one or the other. And it was my first experience of being flamed. Whoa! You know, an old dear friend who saw things differently unloaded on me, really. As we get here to this 50th day of Easter and still exploring the gifts of God and the dying and rising of Jesus, which culminated in the gift and empowering of the church by the Holy Spirit, and we heard this story of the confusion of human tongues at Babel, and that interesting cacophony that took place on the day of Pentecost, I had in mind some thoughts about it, and I'll share them. First of all, the Pentecost story compels us because it is a story for our time as well as in the past. But especially, it seems to me, we live in a world where words have become toxic, where the languages of our cherished isms threaten to divide and destroy us. The troubles of our day are global, civilizational, and catastrophic. And if we don't learn the art of speaking across the borders that separate us, we'll burn ourselves down to ash. For those of us living in America this election year, in case you hadn't noticed, there is an election going on. The temptation to retreat into our political enclaves is especially strong. Why bother to understand, much less to speak, the languages of those with whom we disagree? Why not sneer? Isn't sneering easier? Isn't it more fun? Maybe, but it's no small thing that the Holy Spirit loosened tongues to break down barriers on the day of Pentecost. In the face of difference, God compelled his people to engage. From day one, the call was to press in and to linger and to listen and to speak. That comes from Debbie Thomas, an Indian-American woman who came to this country speaking only a South Indian language and found herself discovering what Babel can be like. This whole language mess and communications mess came about, according to the Bible, thousands of years ago in Babel, another name for Babylon. Human beings had settled there, learned to build a city, and in it they set out to build a tower up to heaven where they could be on the same footing and equal with the gods. Now, of course, this story is a myth, which some people think means we can dismiss it because it didn't really happen. But in fact, specifically because it's a myth, we need to really pay attention, because myths tell us truth at a far deeper level than mere history. The pride of a nation. A people demanded that they build ever more impressively and make a name for themselves to dominate all around them. Babylonian exceptionalism. Then, as has happened to empires again and again throughout history, their focus on appearing powerful and wealthy and strong hid the fact that they were no doubt, like all societies, ignoring the need of people. They were no longer in communication between leaders and people. Economic inequality had grown and mushroomed. And believing theirs as the greatest nation on earth, they fell out of communication with God, and their society fell apart, and they were scattered, and as we humans so often do, they blamed their city's collapse on God. But when you and I read the Bible, and not just this little story, we find that whatever God may have done directly or indirectly, both in the myths and then the history of the Bible, it is not the story of a God who scatters, but the story of a God who gathers. Out of the scattering of Babylon comes immediately God calling Abraham and Sarah to create a new people who would be a blessing to the whole human race. And whether it was in Abraham's time or God gathering the scattered people of descendants of Abraham out of slavery in Egypt back to the land of promise, or God bringing together the divided 12 tribes of Israel into a kingdom under David, or when God's people were scattered and exiled, and prophets such as Isaiah began calling for the time when God's people would send out God's call to the whole world, even to the coastlands, and draw all people to God's holy hill into one family in God's kingdom. The Bible holds before us that our division, our estrangement from others, is not God's doing, but our own. And so, in the fullness of time, the Word of God himself became a human being and dwelt among us with the grace and truth that is God's real purpose, he who would be lifted up in order to draw all humanity to himself. But humans wouldn't have it. This kingdom of justice and peace and mercy that Jesus proclaimed was not to their liking, and so he was murdered. And yet the life of God cannot remain dead. Bursting forth from the tomb, Jesus begins God's project of reversing the direction of human history. And 50 days after he returned from the grave, his spirit, the unity of the heart of God's own self, was poured out on the human race. We heard Jesus' promise of that very thing in today's gospel reading. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. Not separation, not division. Peace, my peace I give to you, not the way the world gives it, but do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't let them be afraid. There's so much fear in the air these days. The fear of being stoked by political candidates and political speech, knowing they can count on our votes if they create first a sense of fear and panic and then offer themselves as a remedy. The fear of job loss for those left behind by a rather anemic recovery. The fear of losing a loved one. The fear of dealing with pain without pain medication. Or the fear of getting hooked on pain medications. There's a lot of fear going around these days, and when you're caught up in it, it's hard to see or feel anything different. When we give in to fear and uncertainty, we then fortify our own positions. We build towers for ourselves. Our walls and towers are probably not physical, though some houses in the Dallas and Texas area do look somewhat fortified nowadays. But generally, our walls and towers are emotional, psychological, social. We circle up the wagons of family, of friends and people who agree with us and look like us and think like us. But those defenses will fail as they have throughout history. Or we can welcome the one who is our defender, our advocate, God in our midst and in our lives, the Holy Spirit of God. We can find the peace that exceeds human understanding, the peace the world cannot give, and that's why we're here today. And also, when we have that shalom, salam, peace, we are then able to be unafraid and to We can then learn to be unafraid of those who are not like us, who do not think or look like us. Then we can go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. We can be the means by which the good news is proclaimed to all people. We can then live in the city not made by hands and stop striving to get to God and to find ourselves living in God now. We can find that unity overcomes estrangement in Christ. I ask myself, do I live in fear? Fear of aging, fear of failing health, fear of hurt to my loved ones, fear of people who are different, fear of fear. Do I let whatever fears I have drive me to turn away from others, to build defenses around my life, to try to have God for myself? Come out then, the Spirit says to me, let me heal your fear. Hear the words of the Son, peace be with you. My peace I give you. Hear the Father call you, saying, receive the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Later this morning, as we baptize new Christians, we will pray this prayer for them, and let us pray it for ourselves as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon your servants the forgiveness of sin, and have raised us to the new life of grace. Sustain us, O God, in your Holy Spirit. Give us an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. And then, let us go out in the power of the Spirit and minister in Christ's name to all those in trouble, sorrow, pain, rejection, or need, as we live in and proclaim again the peace of Christ that surpasses our understanding.